I'd like to thank everyone for being here, whether it be few or whether it be many. We're here to serve the Lord our God and to give him all the glory that he deserves. At the appropriate time, 3:15 will be the invitation song, "Oh, Why Not Tonight?" And the question is, oh, why not tonight? Tonight's lesson will be, where would I go but to the Lord? Time on earth is filled with swift transition. There is nothing on this earth that exists can stand. He delivers us from the storms of life. He leads us down the right path which we should follow. Where would I go but to the Lord? Our time on this earth is just for a little while. This is not our home. We are pilgrims trotting through a foreign land. Our place is in heaven, for Jesus is there. He has prepared our dwelling place. Where would I go but to the Lord? In him we have life. Without him, we live in death. We are in sin. It is not our friend, and we rotten from within. And sorrow abounds forever. Where would I go but to the Lord? In our minds, he gives us the word. In his word, he gives us the way. Around the world, it must be heard every day. In our hearts, he gives us righteousness. He is our God, and we are his people. Where would I go but to the Lord? With every tear, every thought, every prayer, every care, for our Lord is there. Where would I go but to the Lord? In him we have mercy and grace. In him we have love, hope, and peace. And without him, we will not have salvation. We will not have rest. Where would I go but to the Lord? There is no other being we should trust in getting us to heaven other than our Lord Jesus Christ. We should not hold confidence in this world because evil and sin abounds in every land and everywhere. Sin is not from God, and sin cannot enter into heaven. This world invites sin into its parameters, and its inhabitants are infested with evil. There is no sin in heaven. Remember that. Yes, time on this earth is filled with swift transition. Unfortunately, the transition is toward evil. It is as in the days of Noah, where God has to see great wickedness on this earth. He has to be a loving God and a long-suffering to tolerate such evil. This morning we were reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I believe it's verse 8 through 11. And when we were reading that, it sort of goes along with the sermon. I'm reading from the King James Version. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many renowned to the glory of God. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. Is this our world today? Is man's every thought and every intent to do evil? If it is, God's wrath will be on the unrighteous. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There's no excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. We were talking about that this morning. To do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Does this not sound like our world today that we live in? You remember before God destroyed the earth by a flood and spared Noah and his family, he was sorry that he made man on this earth and grieved in his heart. Wonder what he thinks today. Wonder what he thinks today. Genesis chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. As in the days of Noah, the Lord will take vengeance on the unrighteous, just in a different way. There will be no other flood. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In knowing all of this beforehand, if we know it beforehand, where would I go but to the Lord? Where would we go for help? If we have faith in the Lord and obey his word, we won't have to worry about the wrath of God being carried out on us. Our time on this earth is just for a little while. This is not our home. We're just pilgrims here, trotting through a foreign land. He has prepared our dwelling place. Where would I go but to the Lord? 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 15. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. This earth offers us nothing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 tells us of the heavenly hope. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. They knew that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Assurance of the resurrection. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He tells us that. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, it tells us it's destruction, whose God is their belly, they only think about their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If we know that everything on this earth is temporary, and this is not our final dwelling place, why do we concentrate so heavy on the physical things of this life? For our home is in heaven. Where would I go but to the Lord for the blessings that are to come? Where would I go? There's nowhere else I could go. In Him we have life. Without Him we live in death. We are in sin. It is not our friend. And we rotten from within. And sorrow abounds forever. Where would I go but to the Lord? There's nowhere else to go. John chapter 1, verse 4. John chapter 1, verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we know life is through Him. Matthew chapter 19, verse 17, where Jesus counsels the rich young ruler. We talked about that this morning. So He said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He tells us how here to enter into life. Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 46. Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 46. Then He will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me." Verse 44. Then they also will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then He will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." It tells us they have eternal life if they're righteous. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. We've seen that time and time again in biblical history, where ones preaching the gospel have lost their lives, but in the end, they will save their lives. Life awaits to those who trust and obey God's word. Anything else other than the obedience to God's word offers destruction, pain, and sorrow. Where would I go but to the Lord to inherit life eternally? There's nowhere else to go. Where would I go? In our minds, He gives us the word, and in His word, He gives us the way. That's where we will go. We can go to His word to find out the way. Around the world, it must be heard every day. In our hearts, He gives us righteousness. He is our God, and we are His people. Where would I go but to the Lord? Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. God's word will be with us forever. We must obey His word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You hear that? It was framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written in it, for the time is near. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 through 13. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Verse 13, in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. God's word is the only word which is true and just. What other word can we go to that we can trust that tells us how to be saved? Is there any other word? Where would I go but to the Lord? It's to the Lord that we need to look to. His word we need to look to be saved. With every tear, every thought, every prayer, every care, for our Lord is there. We know He's there. Where would I go but to the Lord? Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. Remember when the Pharisees were testing Jesus and plotting to kill Him? Verse 25. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. God knows what we're thinking. As Jesus knew their thoughts, He knows our thoughts. God is there when we have sorrow, when we have tears, and He is there to comfort us. Psalms chapter 116, verse 8. Psalms chapter 116, verse 8. For You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. The Lord has done that, not Satan. Psalms chapter 126, verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. We might sow in tears now, here on earth. We're flesh, but in heaven we'll reap joy. John chapter 16, verse 20. Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy, it says. We'll reap what we sow here. But if we weep and lament and we have sorrow here, we'll have joy in heaven. God hears our prayers. He knows our every care. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. He hears our prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who else would I go to but the Lord? He knows our every care. In Him we have mercy and grace. In Him we have love, hope, and peace. And without Him, we will not have salvation. We will not have eternal rest. Where would I go but to the Lord? There's nowhere else to go. Psalm chapter 103, verse 13. And I'm taking this from the New American Standard Bible. Psalms 103, verse 13. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. As some versions of the Bible says pity in the place of compassion. But just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. 2 John chapter 1, verse 3. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. He gives us grace, mercy, and peace. It tells us that here. Grace, mercy, and peace comes from the Lord and no other. Where would you find it? Romans chapter 5, verses 5. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word. He gives us consolation. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's where we'll find the rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His word is not that hard. We just got to obey it. We have consolation and hope by the grace of God through his love. We will have eternal rest in heaven with him in the end if we are found faithful. Where would I go but to the Lord? Where would I go? There's nowhere else to go but to the Lord. Psalms chapter 3, verse 8. It tells us where salvation comes from. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Salvation comes from the Lord and no other. Psalms chapter 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. He says the Lord is, nobody else. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. He is our salvation. It's the Lord. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by your builders, which was become by the has become the chief cornerstone. He was a chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Let me read that part again. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ only. In knowing this, where would I go but to the Lord? There's no other place. In knowing this world is going to be destroyed, Jesus has prepared us a new home in heaven. Jesus leads us down the path of righteousness through his examples and through the word of God. Eternal life comes through the sacrifice of Jesus. He takes care of our every need. Through his grace and love, He extends to us hope, peace, mercy, and salvation. Where would I go but to the Lord? There's no else to go but to the Lord. You've heard God's word tonight. And if you haven't been to the Lord, if you are not a Christian, you need to become one. Why not tonight? That's the song of encouragement. Why not tonight? If you are a Christian and you have fell by the wayside, you need to come back to the Lord. Where else can you go but to the Lord? If you're subject to the invitation, we'll stand and sing at this time. Thank you.